Why Do You Podcast? Een podcastreeks waarin podcasters vertellen over waarom ze podcasten. Ik ben Annelies, ik ben podcastmanager en coach en ik ga in gesprek met podcastmakers uit België, Nederland en ver daarbuiten om hen te vragen naar hun why als het over podcasten gaat. Je ontdekt in deze reeks dat iedereen een eigen reden heeft om te podcasten en along the way krijg je ook heel veel tips en inspiratie om met je eigen podcast aan de slag te gaan. Luister je mee? Hello Jeremy, welcome on the Why Do You Podcast.
Hi Anne, so thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah. It's really cool to have you here because I'm a member of your podcast marketing academy and I'm learning a lot from you, which is funny because I found you on Google and at the time you did not have a podcast, but you are a podcast marketing expert.
Yeah, I have had several. I think I just started a new one as we're recording this. Mm-hmm. I think this is my fifth all time, but I tend to go in spurts where I'll like do one show for a season or two and then take a year or two long break and then come back to another one. So Okay. Yeah, it's been a while since my last one, but I'm excited to be back with a new one.
Okay, yeah, serial podcaster.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the title of your new podcast?
Yeah, so this one is titled Podcast Marketing Trends Explained. So maybe right in the wheelhouse for most people listening to this. And it was, or it is based on a larger kind of research project that I started for the first time last year called Podcast Marketing Trends. And so it's kind of the digging deeper into the data that we uncovered in that report.
Yeah. Yeah, really interesting. And you're doing a new trends report also this year, but there's no results yet of that.
Yeah, so we just closed the survey a couple of weeks ago as of this recording. So now it's kind of all the digging into it and then getting all the visuals and putting together a report and all that stuff that takes a long time to actually go through it.
I can imagine. Anything that stands out already that you can share, maybe?
I haven't looked too closely into it yet. There are a few things that I asked a bunch of new questions this time around. And one of the ones that I was curious about was around like cross-episode retention data. And so very few people have access to this. It's only really on the Chartable plan you can get this data. So there's some other analytics platforms that are more for like brands and enterprise companies where you can kind of see some of this. But essentially, like what percentage of people who, you know, listen to one episode come back for the next episode? And this is, it's on the paid Chartable plan as well. So it's not on the free plan, which anybody could access. But I have started to look into some of that, but I was a little bit, I don't know how telling it's going to be because so few people actually are tracking that, which is interesting in its own right, but it's something that I've kind of become curious about as, you know, we see these download metrics in our in our podcast hosting platforms, and maybe we see, you know, 500 downloads every single episode. And one interpretation of that is that we have 500 people who listen to every single episode. And another interpretation is that there are 500 new people each episode and who don't stick around and listen to another one. And so we don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
And it's probably somewhere in between.
Yeah. Yeah. It's in podcasting, it's a lot of guessing. And Yeah, I know. Yeah. Sometimes frustrating, but I try not to worry too much about the numbers and just try to focus on having fun.
Yes.
So with the podcast marketing trends explained, you don't do it by yourself. You have a co-host, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. So I co-host the show with Justin Jackson, who is the co-founder of one of the podcast hosting platforms, Transistor.fm. And so we met at, we actually both read each other's newsletters probably for several years. And then we met in person without realizing that the other person was aware of us at Podcast Movement a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 2022 or something like that. And we started talking and we really hit it off. And then it was, you know, now 2 years later almost that we were finally like, hey, we should actually do a show together. And so it's kind of been a friendship kind of started there. And then we were both in the podcasting world. We both have a lot of similar ideas around marketing and kind of this project came up and it felt like the natural fit.
Yeah. Okay. And how many episodes are you in now?
So we have just, as we're recording this, we've just released episode 11, I think. We've recorded, I think, 16 or 17 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And do you always, it's always the two of you, or do you also invite other guests on the show?
So it's only been, I think, so we're going to do this as a seasonal show. So far, we've only done it just the two of us. I have some ideas around maybe almost like in between seasons bonus episodes, we bring on somebody else where it kind of is a little bit outside the typical format, but we haven't really talked too much about that yet, but I think it could be a possibility.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And I saw you also do podcast roasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's two kind of episode formats that we've done. And so one is kind of digging into the data. And then we started this other version of the show, or this other format, where we initially thought it was just going to be something we do where listeners, if they left us a review, they could submit their show to be kind of roasted or just like kind of dissected their packaging and say like, oh, here's some things we would improve. And we thought this would be like a little 10-minute section at the end of our episodes. And then we did the first one and we realized, oh, this is, you know, a 40-minute show in its own right. So we'll just do two a week. So one kind of standard looking in the data episode and then one roast episode each week.
So two episodes a week. Yeah. Well, actually, the doing the roasts was always something that I wanted to do, but I was a bit scared of, because I think it's scary as a podcast host to have your podcast on the roast. But also for me to do the roasting is feel scary because, yeah, well, giving feedback is not always easy. So even though it's not a real conversation, because the one you're hosting is not actually on the show. You don't have them as a guest. You just talk about them and their podcast. It feels a bit like talking behind their back.
And it's funny because like everybody submits their show, so they've kind of signed up for it. People want it. And a lot of people, almost everybody we've roasted so far, I've had some kind of previous back and forth through LinkedIn or Twitter, or they've responded to my emails in the past. So I'm kind of aware of them. And what I've been doing with my emails leading up, like when I share the roast episodes when they go live on Fridays, is I've been kind of like really like playing into like the building up the story of like creating tension essentially and making it sound like there's a lot wrong with the show and like it's all this big deal, and kind of it's been a fun writing exercise to just like, how can I like create some tension in this, and knowing that we don't actually go that hard on them in the episode. But every time then, and being in Europe as well, like you are, most of the roasties have been in North America, I think, to this point. Actually, there have been some UK ones, but I'm kind of aware that, okay, they're not going to see this till later in the day, and I'll send them an email usually. But then I'm always sitting on pins and needles, and I'm kind of like, okay, I hope they take this well, or I hope they're receptive to what we said. And so there's this like inverse where, you know, we're roasting then, and I'm just like waiting every time I see an email come back from them, and I'm just like, oh, now I'm going to get roasted for my roasting of their show. And everybody's been really grateful so far, so that hasn't happened, but
Yeah, well, you've given me the courage to also start doing it, and I've already lined up three candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't recorded anything yet. It's not for this podcast. It's for my other podcast, which is called Podcast Groei, Podcast Growth. But usually for this podcast, Why Do You Podcast? I have a guest in every episode. I've never had any guests in 95 episodes ask me, can I listen to the recording before it goes live?
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever. Now, these three have all said, yeah, I would like to listen to the recording before it goes live.
Yep.
Even they're not really a guest on the episode. I'm just talking about their podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. So yeah, we will see how it goes, but I'm actually looking forward to start doing those episodes also. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Jeremy, the question, because I've already said I found you on Google, and I subscribed to your newsletter. I downloaded your free course about podcast marketing, but you didn't have a podcast at the time. So, why do you podcast, and why is it that there's so many gaps between podcasts?
For me personally,
yeah.
This is the big question of the show, I guess. I think I think about, so I'm not sure where your audience is for this show necessarily, but you know, I'm a business owner kind of first and foremost. I guess I think of myself more as a creator that happens to have a business. The business obviously allows me to keep creating stuff. But I think at this, where I'm at right now, I have many like creative podcast ideas that would probably have no business value. But for right now, it's kind of like everything that I need to, that I do creatively, content wise, needs to serve the business in some way. And so usually I'm kind of thinking about, you know, what can a podcast do for me here? There's some element of creative expression, but also it needs to be, you know, that time expenditure needs to be leading, doing something for the business, either attracting new audience or kind of nurturing existing audience. And with this show, it was weekly for a long time. Now it's a daily newsletter so it's a kind of a 2-minute kind of podcast marketing and creative kind of tip per day. And so I've sent that now for 3 years. The past few months have been daily. Previously it was weekly. So several hundred issues of that. And that has always been, I kind of designed that as a complement to what I was doing previously. And so I've kind of always had different kind of creative. I had another long form newsletter. I did long form blogging. And then I was like, actually, I need something short form that I can deliver regularly that is really consumable. And so that was the newsletter. And I've always kind of been very email first from a business perspective. And just thinking about sales, is email is much easier to do that through than podcasting or YouTube to some extent. And so I kind of had that under my belt, and I was feeling really, you know, confident about where the newsletter was at, and it was growing and had got lots of great feedback on it. But, you know, there's always these topics that, especially when you put a constraint like a 2-minute newsletter, there's going to be things that you just can't really discuss in a lot of depth. And writing for me has always been one way to, I'll have some idea and I'm like, oh, there's something interesting here, but I don't know what it is. And writing is the way to kind of bring structure to it and figure out my own thinking around it. But then there's other more organic types of discovery around concepts or things that I have the foundation. I've written about this concept in the newsletter in a little 2-minute read, but there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, actually, I'd like to talk about this with somebody and explore this in more depth. And that's where the podcast has really come in. And part of it, we didn't really know necessarily where the show was going to go. We knew, okay, well, so I did this report, I did this big research project, spent just like hundreds of hours to put this together in terms of everything that went into it. And we published a finished kind of report website. And that was some of the data that was collected, but it wasn't all of it. And then I was thinking too, like, oh, this is an interesting thing that I've created now, that there's more value here. And it's, when I think about a report website, stuff, I like reading that kind of stuff for any industry that I'm in or kind of creative platform or whatever. But you kind of read it and maybe you take some insights away and then you forget about it, essentially. And it's kind of this little quick hit thing. And I was kind of thinking, going through the data, I'm like, there's actually so much nuance to this. And you just don't get it in the report. Or to give all the nuance, I would have to really, it would just be this unreadable, huge, long thing. And so I thought, actually, okay, I've already done all the work of compiling this data. It would actually be really fun and to some extent easy if we take out the post-production stuff to talk about this in a podcast and actually dig into those nuances and give examples and kind of debate maybe some of the things. And because that was one of the other things that came out of it, was there are a lot of the data points in the report that they don't say anything definitive. They're kind of open to interpretation. And it's like, okay, we see the data here, but what does that mean? And I can say, well, I suspect that this is what's happening here and this is why, but somebody else could look at it and say, actually, I think maybe this is what's going on here. And so that was kind of where, for this show specifically, it was kind of like, we've got this thing that probably hasn't been fully explored yet. And there's a lot of interesting stuff here. So what if we just, you know, did a season, and maybe we do a season for each year the report comes out, where we then over 10 or 20 episodes kind of go deeper into it and explain some of the nuances in a way that is going to be more helpful for people than just the report on its own.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So for you, it is important to have the podcast really related to your business and doing something for your business also. Yeah.
Right now, I think, like I said, there's my first ever podcast was a podcast about ice cream in Vancouver, Canada, where I'm from. And so me and two friends, we have a three-way co-hosted show. And we, every episode, we went to a different kind of like craft ice cream shop in Vancouver. And we like recorded live on location, the whole process of like picking our flavors and whatever. And then we went back and kind of had a debate about the ice cream and whatever. And it was just a pure, you know, fun show. We had like 12 listeners per episode, and it was just fun for us. And then I've done a couple other shows that have been, I've done shows for clients where I kind of was fully in charge of creating it from the ground up, hosting all that stuff. And then I've done a couple others for my business as well. But I think right now, just knowing my time kind of bandwidth and availability, it's kind of like, okay, if I'm going to do a show, it probably needs to be on the business side of things. And I definitely look forward to in the future. There's other, I've just have so many ideas for podcasts that are not, but like one of my dreams, I think, is to really be in maybe a place kind of like there's a financial and a time component where it's like, okay, the expenses are taken care of. Plus, I also have like 20 or 30 hours a week that I could actually just go all in on a podcast and say, like, could I just create a podcast that funded itself and that had, you know, whatever, 25,000 listeners an episode or something like that? That feels like a fun challenge. But I also know I just don't have the bandwidth right now to be able to really do that. And so that's like a future dream.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what I'm thinking right now for with this podcast, because I'm loving this. But also my only reason for doing Why Do You Podcast is networking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mainly networking. Yeah. As a podcast manager, it's a way for me to get to know other podcasters, which are potential clients. But mm-hmm. then again, I am spending a lot of time on this, recording 3-4 episodes a week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm having so much fun. But I was thinking maybe I should cut it down to one episode a week, because yeah, it is getting a bit too much. But yeah, I'm having so much fun. So yeah, I'll think about it. But
yeah. And I would say the other thing with this show in particular, usually when I start any, it can be a podcast, but when I start a newsletter or a new kind of creative project of some kind, there's always some kind of like, you know, I'd like it to make money. I would like to build an audience. There's some big, you know, main goal. But I always try to think about and actually not just think about, but like intentionally design it around something else where even if that big outcome that I want doesn't happen, so nobody listens to it or it doesn't make any money or, you know, whatever it is, that there's still some real benefit to me. And so with this case, it was kind of like you said that the part of the show was for networking. Part of me was thinking about with this show, like I want to get to know, I mean, we, Justin and I already had one call every week, but we'd talk about podcasting stuff, but I was like, this is just going to be a fun way to, you know, become better friends and like talk about this stuff that we've kind of talked around quite a bit, but not really in depth. And then the other piece was also the video aspect, where I'd never done a video show before. And this one, we really took the approach of like, okay, we're going to make this good for YouTube. And it is a lot of work. And I'm really glad we're doing this seasonally, because there is no way, especially with two episodes a week, which wasn't really our initial plan, like I mentioned, it is doing video well is so much work. And so I'm very excited that the end of the season is in sight. And there's going to be less demand on my schedule on the video editing and production very soon.
That's why I don't do video.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
So, we've talked a lot about Why Do You Podcast. What are lessons you've learned from podcasting or gifts that you may have received from doing podcasts?
Yeah, it's interesting with this new show. I've been kind of reminded of, the other interesting thing is the last show that I created, I hadn't done a lot of consistent content creation elsewhere at around that time. I'd started really taking writing more seriously. So the last show I started was in August, I think, 2020. And I started taking writing really seriously in January 2020. So I started publishing daily blog posts in January, but they got no views. And I was writing on Medium. I'd done some writing about podcasting in like 2017, but I kind of felt like, oh, I wrote 50 blog posts and was like, I guess I've covered all the topics, and I just had no more inspiration around it. And then in 2020, kind of in the spring, I got back into writing podcasting a little bit. I started another newsletter that was one more general creative stuff. So it wasn't really aligned with podcasting. It wasn't really aligned with my business so much. To some extent it was, because, you know, podcasters are creators. And that's what that main newsletter was for. But I didn't have this kind of overlap of people who had been regularly hearing from me. And so that podcast that I started, it was called Build a Better Wellness Biz. And it was mainly like online business for wellness businesses. And the reason was that most of my clients in my podcast production agency happened to be wellness businesses. Just kind of randomly, they just, you know, I got referrals and they just kept happening. I was like, okay, after years of resisting, I was like, okay, maybe I should just lean into this. And if it's already happening, might as well like make a show for this. And it kind of became clear that, you know, I didn't personally care about wellness businesses. I don't have a backstory in there. And so that show was just not a good fit for me, because I didn't have any intrinsic motivation to do it. But with this show, now that I've been publishing for 3 years, maybe, in my newsletter, writing a lot about podcasting, and have been pretty active in spurts on Twitter and LinkedIn. And so people really know me a lot better. And I get pretty good feedback in a lot of places, Twitter, LinkedIn, newsletter, email responses. But what's been so interesting is that now doing the podcast, the engagement has really skyrocketed. And like yesterday, I was on a call, three calls in a row, where every person that I talked to, they were like, oh, I was just listening to your podcast episode today. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, Huh. And people remark and comment on my newsletter, but there's something, one of the things I've been thinking a lot recently about metrics with podcasting and any content is the idea of the amount of like absolute time that somebody spends with us. And I was kind of adding up, okay, I've published, let's say 100 issues of my newsletter. They're all kind of 2 minutes each. So that's 200 minutes. And maybe it's a little bit more than that, but it's like, okay, that's not really that much time. And somebody, it would take maybe somebody a year to go through that. Previously, now that we're going daily, it would be faster. But you could get to 200 minutes with just three podcast episodes, depending on the length. And so that was kind of an interesting thing where I was like, oh, people with the podcast spend so much more time with me. They get a better sense of my voice and mannerisms and personality, which I try to, you know, work into the newsletter, but it just doesn't happen in the same way. And then you think about there's the video podcast too, where you get to see somebody. And I've always had a sense of like, I've done a lot of live workshops and things like that over Zoom and whatnot. And I've always felt like that's where my part of my sweet spot is when people, I can be reacting with people in a live setting. And obviously a recorded podcast isn't quite the same, but I've noticed that people have connected with something. I don't know what it is, but I'm like, oh, this works for me. And so I think there's something here with podcast and video that there's more communicated and people spend more time with you. And even though the numbers are much smaller, for the people who do listen, it's a much more meaningful kind of extension of the relationship. And so I think that's what's actually getting people who already read the newsletter for maybe 100 issues for 2 years. Now they're like reaching out more because there is this more personality and humanity that mm-hmm. kind of comes through in the show.
Yeah. Now they can, yeah, they see the person behind the words in the email. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. 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 Because, yeah, I was subscribed to your email also since last summer, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you should actually also consider writing a book because you write beautiful newsletters.
It's certainly on the list.
I love reading them. I look forward to getting them every day. So, it's different in a podcast because people can hear your voice and adding the video, they can see your face. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting that like different mediums have different values to some extent. And so like I study writing a lot, and I one of my favorite show right now is a show called How I Write about writing. and I read books about writing, read blogs about writing. Like I'm very much in that world too. And so much of good writing is about being very economical and like not like really condensing and compressing the ideas. And podcasting benefits from that as well, but you have a lot more bandwidth where somebody is not going to read a 60-minute article, but people listen to 60-minute podcasts all the time. And that doesn't mean you just want to be following every kind of tangent everywhere. You still want to keep generally on track. But a lot of times I'll remove stuff from my writing that might be like a little funny aside or tangent because I'm kind of like, it doesn't really add to the point. I might be losing people here, especially in a newsletter where they're in their inbox and there's more things calling at their attention, where in a podcast, you can kind of have a bit more leeway to like make a joke or something, or just do a little thing where people actually, that's more of who you are as a person, that I kind of am a little sad to cut some of that out of the writing, even though I might write it in the first draft. And I'll occasionally still throw them in. But with podcasting, it's like, oh, I get to share more of myself that I intentionally edit out of my writing a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. You can have some jokes in your emails as well. I love this really stupid dad jokes at the end of Pat Flynn's newsletter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's an incentive to read mm-hmm. until the end because you know the dad joke is coming in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I always wonder where he finds all those. He must just have like a Google or maybe ChatGPT's making them up or something.
Probably. Have you had any big blunders or bloopers with your podcast?
Not with this one. Oh, so, well, okay, this isn't a big blunder or blooper, but the first three episodes, we kind of record every Tuesday. The first three episodes, we recorded through the episode once, and at the end, we were kind of like, all right, that was pretty good, but I think we could do better. And it was kind of like, I think it alternated who suggested it. And so the first three episodes, we basically finished recording. We're like, okay, I think that was a little maybe like good ideas, but our transitions weren't good. It was kind of too loose. We meandered a bit. Like, let's do it again. And so that was an interesting, I'd never really done that before. And you can't do that with an interview show, really. You can do it with a solo show, but you more correct along the way as you're going through. But with this co-hosted show, I was like, oh, it's really interesting. And in every single one, I was like, Oh, but I like there's the moment, there's a part of the first one where I was like, oh, that was really good. Like, what if we don't recreate that? And I think in all the second ones, we didn't actually recreate it, but it was still better as a whole. And that was really an interesting experience to do that because it felt kind of like, oh, but like there was this stuff that was good. How do we, can we, and I thought like, can we mesh it together? And I thought, oh, this is going to be too complex. So we didn't do that. But that was a no blunders there, but that was an interesting just kind of like getting to the end, be like, eh, close, but not quite. I have had more blunders on client shows, I think, in the past where, and this is just, it happens to, I think, to every podcaster where you publish something and there's like some, the music comes in at the wrong time or whatever. And I've heard this happen for like huge shows as well, where I'm always surprised when it happens at that level, but it made me feel a lot better as a podcast, like producer and like production agency owner. I don't produce shows for clients anymore, but seeing on this on some shows and I was like, oh, somebody missed something there. And I know how it happens, but those are always just, oh, it's just, you get clammy instantly and all like sweaty and you're just like, especially if you're out for a walk or something and you're listening or the client sends you an email and you're like, have to run home and then edit the podcast and re-upload. Those are the worst, but we haven't had it happen to this show yet.
I know that feeling. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or it's happened to me on podcasts that I make for my clients as well. I don't think I've made any like mistakes in the editing. Not as far as I know, but putting a wrong link in the show notes or something, and then like you say, just when you're out, you get an email from your client saying, "Yeah, the link is wrong, or it's not working," and then, oh fuck,
or the guest name was misspelled or something like that.
Yeah, I make a habit of checking and double checking that because it has happened that my client puts the name of the guest in an email or in the briefing notes and that it was spelled wrong. So I make a habit of checking and double checking that. Yeah. But because I'm very sensitive about writing my own name and with double N, but people write it with one N or with an E in the end. Yeah.
And actually this, it was a blunder that almost was on, I think 2 weeks ago, the YouTube version, I have no idea what happened here. I think it was a bug in Descript because I edited it. I clicked export. I uploaded it to YouTube and I'd like just been editing on it. So I knew everything was good. Uploaded it to YouTube and set everything up. And then the next day before it goes live, I think it goes live at something like, well, in Europe, it's like 2 p.m. or something in Europe. And so I was looking at it at noon or something like that. And I go into YouTube and I click play and there's no audio to any of it. And I was like, well, that's weird. And then I was like, is this just a YouTube thing? Is this my browser? And then I clicked on, looked into my files, the export, and realized, oh, there's no audio in any of it. And I was like, oh, what happened here? So I delayed that one and I like furiously like rushed home. And I think this is a similar thing. I was at a coffee shop with really bad Wi-Fi, so I couldn't like upload the video again. And so that was another thing. I was like beating the clock. So I almost had a blunder there. I was so glad that I checked. It was kind of just, I had the email written. And I was just like checking that all the links work. And I went to the YouTube video. I was like, oh, this is not working here. So narrow miss.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it happens to the best of us, yeah. What is for you the most important ingredient of a good podcast?
I think it kind of goes back to what I said before about the other show, the Build a Better Wellness Biz. I think the host has to be, it's not just interested in. I think there has to be a deep curiosity, and I think I see this a lot of times with business owners where they think they should do a podcast, but they don't have a driving urge to do it. And I think that usually those shows don't have any chance at success. Like there needs to be, or a lot of times, and because, you know, I've been a service provider in podcasting as well, people just want somebody else to do everything for them. And this is, and in marketing too, a lot of times when I work with people, there's, the show is kind of just a generic like interview show about a topic that there's, you know, 100 different shows that are basically the same thing. And they just want to say, well, just tell me what should the show be and I'll just do it. I'll say, I mean, I can't answer that. Like it has to come from something that's unique to you. That is the thing that will make this a interesting marketable show, is taking these weird quirks about you and the way that you see the world and packaging it in a podcast. And so I think that that is this core ingredient that is hard to teach. And you can, you know, as a coach, you can help pull stuff out that you find interesting about the person that they probably can't see for themselves. And so that's the fun part for me, is talking with somebody and kind of realizing, picking up on some of the things that I notice just through conversation with them or listening to their episodes, and being able to say, like, you keep coming back to this thing. This seems like a really interesting thing that interests you, but you don't really give it a lot of time or attention, or the show's not really built around it. Like, what if we took that and made this the whole center of the show? And a lot of times that's where, like, they have this kind of like eyes light up moment. They're like, oh, interesting. Like, I've been avoiding that thing because I thought that people wouldn't be interested in that, or that like it only makes sense to me. And I'm like, yes, that's the thing that it is. It will make it interesting to other people in many cases, not all, but I think that's like it really feels like the soul of the show kind of is overlaps with the soul of the person to some extent, however you want to interpret that.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's if it comes from the heart, then it will be a good show. And even if only like five people listen, if it's the right five people, then yeah, that's amazing, no?
Yeah. And I, of course, it depends on like what your goals are for the show. If like it's meant to bring in clients for your business and you need to bring in whatever, 200 people a year, probably you need to have a show that's bigger than that. But I think depending on, there's like many reasons. Like I mentioned, the ice cream podcast, we had, I think, literally 12 listeners per episode. Like that was it. And the fun of the show was just an excuse to go eat ice cream with my friends. And like it's like one of the, you know, I'll remember it for my whole life. And it's hard to put a price on something like that, an experience like that.
It is. Is that podcast still online somewhere? Because I'm getting curious now.
Yeah, it's, I let the hosting lapse. Yeah. So the show, I initially had so the show is called Rain City Scoop. And so one of Vancouver's nicknames is Rain City. And much like Belgium, it just rains all the time, all winter, and it's just gray. And so we had it on Libsyn initially. And then when we stopped publishing it, I just put it down to whatever they have a low ticket or kind of $5 a month plan to just keep it there, and eventually I let it go. But now that I'm on Transistor for my new shows, you get unlimited feeds on that hosting platform, so I think I should find the files and just re-upload it, because I talk about it enough and it's an interesting enough hook that like to a show, people are always interested in it. And there's been times that like at a conference or like a author book tour event, it came up. I don't know how it came up. I like asked a question and he asked me something back, and I was like, well, yeah, I have this ice cream about podcasts, and everybody in the room was like, huh? And I was like, oh, I guess that's interesting to people, even though we only have 12 listeners. But well, there is something there.
Everyone loves ice cream. So,
yeah.
And might be interesting if I ever take a trip to Vancouver and the places are still around, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. It's going back up.
Okay. Cool. Now, that's a promise you made on Why Do You Podcast, so I will take you up on that.
It is binding, legally binding.
Yeah, there have been some promises made on this show in the past, so what you say I remember, so all right, we're at the end already. I have one more question for you, because I'm not quitting yet with this show. So do you have anyone in mind that I could invite on the show?
I mean, I would just say everybody who I think you already made the post in the Podcast Marketing Academy community. So I think everyone there is probably all the people top of mind. So I would say probably you've already got a few of those people. And I will definitely mention this again when this goes live and re-prompt people to reach out.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think about 7 or 8 people from the Podcast Marketing Academy have signed up.
Great.
Yeah, that's amazing. But of course, there's a lot more members inside the Academy. So
Awesome.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time and for the really fun conversation about podcasting. Always fun talking about podcasting, but...
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Always likewise on my side as well. One of my obviously favorite things to talk about is it's basically one of the central things of my life at this stage of life. So really great to chat.
Okay, thank you very much. And I'll see you in the Academy. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Zo, die zit er weer op. Dankjewel voor het luisteren. Ik ben heel blij dat jij erbij was. En als je geen enkele nieuwe aflevering wil missen, volg dan deze podcast. En als je mij en mijn gast een heel groot plezier wil doen, dan maak je ons heel blij met het geven van 5 sterretjes in Spotify of een leuke review op Apple Podcasts of waar dat je ook luistert. En we vinden het ook altijd heel leuk om van jou te horen, dus stuur ons gerust een berichtje. Alle contactgegevens en linkjes staan in de show notes. Tot de volgende!